Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, coming to you from the Missionary Conference in Jacksonville, Florida, with my good friend and co-host here, Scott Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Joined by a new friend we'll introduce here just shortly. First, if you've been enjoying following along with our series of exclusive interviews and content from the conference here, you can get instant access to all of it right now if you join at missionspodcast.com/premium. By giving $10 a month to this ministry, you get access to all of those right now. And if you use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, you will get your first month free of charge. And so what are you waiting for? Join our club today. But Scott, we've been talking with some of our guests here over the last day and a half already about what it means to be confessional. Not only that, what it means to be creedal,
right?
What it means to be a part of a global Christian body that's been going for 2,000 years, not just a movement of people that showed up 50 or 100 years ago. That's why conferences like this are exciting. We get to recognize just how big the body of Christ is. But at the same time, I think that's something we can always get more of, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, one of the most important creeds in church history is the Nicene Creed. And a lot of our theology comes, like, what was defined in unique ways that we still use to this day. And here, you know, is our good friend Keith. We're just calling him that.
We're going to call him Keith.
Yeah, we'll call him Keith Constantine for good reasons. But you're wearing an N on your shirt. You're by a booth that's talking about Nicaea. What is Nicaea, and why is Nicaea so important for us to understand? They're trying to understand, like, historic Christianity.
Yeah, so Nicaea was a group of pastors who got together in 325 AD, so 1,700 years ago. They got together because there were stirrings within the church that saying, oh, well, we don't think that Jesus could really have been God, because God couldn't die.
Right.
And they're saying, we stand on the truth of the Bible. We're looking at the word, Jesus is Lord. He is divine, he is human. And we get the underpinnings of the Trinity. I think it's, in a large way, safe to say that it's perhaps the most important document the church has produced in terms of historic value. And so it's just a good moment to celebrate.
So 1,700 years ago, pastors from all over the known world at that time got together and defined and said, hey, this is what we believe about Jesus Christ. This is what we believe about Father, Son, Spirit. This is what we believe about the nature of God. And it's impacted Christianity since.
Yeah, and I think it's really significant that it wasn't 1,700 years ago that they created the ideas. Mm-hmm. But it was at that point that they sat down and they looked at the word. They got council together and said, now this is what the Lord has taught us himself. And that's been so useful to the church ever since, of just the solidifying of those ideas. Mm.
But what if you're a part of a church tradition that hasn't grown up? You know, some of our churches have, some don't, reciting things like the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and other creedal statements that are so useful. How would you defend, maybe for someone, the practice of putting these things into statements, memorizing them, using them in our churches? Because there is this line of thought that says, like, well, the Nicene Council Creed, that's all Constantine, that's all when the state and the government are starting, the state and the church, rather, are starting to get all intertwined and mixed up with each other, and we don't need that. And you've heard this, we just need to return to the Bible. And I think among missions community members, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, hey, it's just scripture. We don't want to impose a certain cultural set of ideas. And so what happens, I think, in the process is a lot of these valuable contributions of the church throughout history end up being lost and we're actually not sharing that with the people that we're trying to reach in various corners of the globe, to show them they're a part of this, this 2,000-year lineage, this treasury that's been stored up for them. But so why would you say it's important to study those things, even if maybe you're a little bit more suspicious of tradition and you're like, man, I'm just like me and my Bible is where I'm at?
We're always reacting against something. And so we see what the Catholics have done, and they've elevated tradition to the point of idolatry and say, oh, we want nothing to do with that. And so we swing the other way and just... We tend to just, evangelicals broadly tend to ignore these creeds and their value. And I think what I would say to that is, yes, there's only one word that the Lord has given us. There's only one holy, inspired, living, and active word, period, full stop. And the Lord has worked. Even in those times, he was working in real people, in real churches. He was working in their lives. He's continued to work in real people, real churches, real pastors since those times. And it wasn't this, like, this formal confluence of, like, bishops who are all representing the certain points and trying to argue this political document. But they, it was just pastors getting together, trying to care for their churches. I think it would be remiss of us not to say, Lord was clear in his word then, and these pastors were trying to care for their churches then, and that's useful to us now.
So what's so interesting about Nicaea for our listeners is, like, it's in Turkey, right? Which we tend to think of because it is a Muslim nation today. But it wasn't then.
Right.
It was Christian then.
Yeah.
And so you're calling, you had this idea of saying, hey, let's get together and remember what happened 1700 years ago. Tell us a little bit about, like, why it's a good thing for us to get together and what you hope to see come out of this big event, and then how people can find out more about it.
For one element, it's just a nod to even a bit further back, because the Turkey is the land of the church in Antioch, the church in Smyrna, the seven churches of Revelation. You have, you even have Abram being called from Haran, that happened in Turkey as well. And so it even goes much farther back than that, of the Lord's work in that place. And it is, the church there is small today. It is a predominantly Muslim nation, but it is such a central piece of our history as the global church that, and I think one of the neat things about it is one of the reasons that Turkey and especially Istanbul which is right near Nicaea, it's continues to be central today. The world can come together there. And so that's one of
where the two continents come together.
Exactly.
Yeah, Asia and Europe, one country, crazy.
And it's so much more accessible than the U.S. is for so many people. And so the hope is that people from the region, from even as far as Brazil and Russia and Singapore and elsewhere would be able to come.
So
together.
Right there, the Hagia Sophia. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going to use that building.
But that does make a good point, is that, you know, this used to be Christian territory.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe by God's grace, as missions continue to do what missions does, can get to that point again someday. But I think it's also an important reminder for us that, you know, you hear this other trope that, well, Christianity is just this Western, you know, religion and construct, and our theology is so Western. I mean, the documents that we rely on the most come from the East.
Yeah.
Before the division between East and West. And there's so much there. What makes you feel as though now is the time? You know, okay, 1700, that's a nice round-ish number, right?
Sure.
But what makes you feel as though now is the time to come together to bring a group of pastors together in the name of, the anniversary of this, but also, man, there's so much division in evangelicalism and Protestantism in general, much less all of the other divisions within the larger thing of Christendom. And how do we even do it? Because we talked with Brother Paul Washer here the other night and just heard so much of his burden about how, frankly, believers online, in person, were cannibalizing each other over secondary and tertiary disagreements. And sometimes you have to draw lines. I'm not saying you don't. But it's a challenging moment. So how are you bringing that together right now?
Yeah, I think this creed, interestingly, is actually affirmed by Catholics, Orthodox, and Protestants. So obviously the ways that we have the lives that we have led and the way the implications of that are vastly different between those. But there's a key element to this that especially within the evangelical church, even within Reformed churches, there is these doctrines are still standing today. These are worth standing upon today. Mm. And what's the response to like modern heresies like the prosperity gospel? It's continuing to stand on the same truth. Mm. And so digging in and reminding each other of why is it important that Jesus is fully man? Like why him taking on flesh? Why is that useful? Why is that important to us?
Yeah.
It's by reminding ourselves of these things that we have that unity. Because if we don't have a central doctrine, central truth around which to gather, moreover, if we don't have a single God, one Lord Jesus Christ around which to gather, then the unity is just amorphous and moving all over the place.
So tell us a little bit more about the conference. Like, who's going to be there? What's going to happen? There's a tour involved in it.
Yeah.
And how can people sign up and go?
Sure. Yeah. So it's about 15 different speakers, not all
from all over the world.
Sessions. Yeah. All over the world. 12 different countries. Got a number of folks who are even here at this conference now, like Mark Dever, Kevin DeYoung, Conrad Mbewe is going to lead a tour. But then you're also pulling some Brazilian brothers, Portuguese, Singapore, Italy, Germany,
Russia.
I'll stop there, but plenty of places coming together. And so the design of that is threefold. One is just celebrating the heritage of the church. One is standing on that doctrine. And then the third is just seeing what the Lord does when you bring like-minded people into the same room, literally from almost every continent.
Yeah.
And just see what goes on in the long term from that. And so it's a three-day conference next October, so about a year from now. And just prior to that is a day trip to Nicaea. And so just talking with Mark Dever earlier about working out the kinks of who will present on Nicaea there.
We're willing to do it.
Yeah,
I'll let him know.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll talk to my people.
So if our listeners want to send you and I to go and do live podcasting, we'll do it, right?
Hey, sure.
And I'm sure our video guys and sound guys will come
That's
too.
That's right. Yeah. So if you join our premium family.
I don't even care if they join premium, as long as they send the money and that's
well,
send
that's
us.
True. Well, that's true. Absolutely.
I haven't talked to my wife yet, but I think she'll say okay.
I'm sure she will. You just tell yourself that.
Yeah. Or better yet, you could actually lead one of those tours. So you have the seven churches tours, you have the
Journeys.
How fun would that be?
I do like turkey. It's my favorite poultry. So how can people learn more about the conference?
They can go to niceaconference.com. So it's N-I-C-E-A conference.com.
Excellent. Yeah, and we need this work of retrieval so much. You know, when we're bringing people into the mission, you know, and we're talking about theology, we're talking about doctrine, it's so easy to get in this rut these days where I know more about the footnotes on the footnotes of what I believe about my particular flavor of, you know, eschatology or my church polity, you know, than we do about the thing that we all share in common as followers of Christ.
And I'll say this just as we wrap up. I just talked to a pastor friend of mine in the Bay Area. He just got back from a seven churches tour and also like went to the churches that Paul was a part of. And he said, it was so humbling and overwhelming. And he goes, I walked away realizing how much Paul suffered for the gospel. Hmm. And it just made me treasure what was given to us from Jesus Christ and what the apostles did to spread the gospel so much. So I'm excited about what you're doing. I hope I can go. I hope others can go. And thank you so much for doing this.
Can I share really briefly?
Yeah.
This has been a couple of years ago now. We were going through Genesis on Sunday mornings at church. And we get to the point where Abram's being called out of Haran.
Yeah.
My oldest son at the time just leaned over to me during the service. He's like, "You've been to Haran, right, Dad?" And it struck me that my sons, there's no question in their mind as they're sitting under the word.
Yeah, it's real, real.
My dad's been to that place. Like, God's working. This isn't there's no way this is fiction.
Oh, cool.
It's so valuable.
So cool.
Love for more people to get that chance.
It's true. It's a historic faith.
Yeah,
great. Absolutely. So we encourage you to check that out, niceaconference.com. Mm-hmm. as well. And remember, if you want to get access to all of our exclusive interviews all at once, even before they premiere in our main feed, go to missionspodcast.com/premium and subscribe for $9.99 per month. Also, use the promo code missionary in all caps, and you will not pay anything for your first month. And also, drop a tip in the jar for Scott to go to Turkey. Until our next episode, go make disciples of all nations.